Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 symptom support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. We're also supported by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
I'm still here because I prayed a lot. I'm still here because I have faith. I knew that my business could survive, but I knew I had to fight for it.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, that's my business. The headlines have been heartbreaking. In 2020, Forbes put it this way. The COVID-19 crisis has wiped out nearly half of small Black businesses. How does one absorb that? I need a moment. With those kind of odds, how do you convince yourself to take a gamble, to keep pushing? Tina Travis persisted. Her business, Erin Girl of Durham Concierge Service, is still going strong. Erin Girl was born out of necessity about 12 years ago. Tina Travis was having her own crisis at the time.
Well, it was hard around that time because 2008, 2009, we had the big housing crunch. And quite frankly, I was affected within that crunch. I was laid off from my job. And I really, really had to think about what is it that I want to do? Where is my passion? Do I want to jump back in corporate America, or do I really want to do something that I feel will help the community and help people?
Tina moved fast to get her business plan off the ground.
It started out really simple in my neighborhood. It started out with one of my neighbors who had a hip replacement surgery, and she could not drive. She worked all of her life. She just had this one moment in life that she just simply couldn't drive, but life was still going on. She still needed her groceries brought to her. She still needed to be driven to her doctor's appointments. She still needed to get around town, but she couldn't do it. She was in a temporary situation that needed somebody trustworthy, somebody reliable to help her with that pain point. And Erin Girl was born.
In a way, during the coronavirus pandemic, Tina had a jump on all those small businesses who had to totally revamp, rebuild, survive by any means necessary. When I spoke to Erin Girl Tina Travis, she was actually out and about running an errand. She was picking up precious cargo from after school, 7-year-old Nicholas Eke, and taking him home way across town.
Over there. Okay. You got a seatbelt on? Okay. Mask up.
In about 15 minutes, Nicholas was greeting his mom, Chinello Eke, a busy parent finishing up her last year of dental school at UNC Chapel Hill.
There's nothing like having someone very reliable, because with my schedule and with my husband's schedule, it's very critical to have someone who we can rely on, someone we can trust, because we work really long hours. So I must say that since she's been providing the service for Nicholas, she's not for one day disappointed, not at all.
Early in the pandemic, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York reported a 22% drop in small businesses, the largest decline on record. For Black-owned businesses, it was double that. people working to help small businesses weather the COVID storm have their work cut out for them.
Okay, good morning, Leonita. I'm Kevin Dick. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Carolina Small Business Development Fund, based in Raleigh, North Carolina, but we are a statewide community development financial institution.
Kevin says in North Carolina, 85% of businesses are considered small, with fewer than 20 employees, and the Small Business Development Fund has kept him and his colleagues on their toes.
It's been tumultuous. I started with the organization on February 10th, 2020. About a month later, everyone was out of the office. And, you know, it was so that the pandemic has had substantive impacts. We really had to deploy capital a lot faster because the need was so much greater. And we had to really increase the volume of our productivity substantially. And so they were balancing these things with virtual academies and bandwidth issues because everyone is now working from home and, you know, just life turning sideways. We had to be empathetic and cognizant of the fact that we're asking our associates to really turn their lives upside down, and our productivity, believe it or not, actually went up in the face of the pandemic, and we were actually able to deploy more capital to small business owners. Leonita, we probably, we approved somewhere upwards of 1,000 loan and grant applications last year, but that doesn't count all of the ones we processed, over 2,000.
What percentage of the small businesses that you work with are Black-owned businesses, are minority-owned businesses? Because I know throughout this pandemic, I would see reports come in over and over. 40% of Black businesses have closed, you know, during the pandemic. I mean, just these astonishing numbers. And I wonder if it's like that here.
Right. So I couldn't give you a snapshot count like as of right now. What I can tell you is that historically 59% of our loans have gone to businesses owned by people of color. Those are data ranging from 2010 through 2021.
It makes me think, you know, how can we help these Black entrepreneurs, you know, remain sustainable?
Leonita, that question and the answer to it is so are so important because In the state of North Carolina, let's put these things in perspective. The Black population is somewhere between 20 and 25%. In Mecklenburg County, or, you know, city of Charlotte, the population is 33%. In Durham, it's over 40. Raleigh, it's over 25. These are major metros. And then you could have, you know, similar statistics for Wilmington, Greensboro, Fayetteville, Winston-Salem, and so forth. So with those substantial populations of color and with the requisite business ownership in those communities, you can imagine that the contributions to the community fabric, the community character, are so important that those Black-owned businesses represent. But I'll tell you something else they represent. That's sales taxes. That's income taxes to local and state government. You know, some people, you know, in talking about this issue, you know, there have been hashtags, you know, Black Lives Matter, Black Businesses Matter, so forth and so on. Sometimes those hashtags are promulgated under the guise of social justice. And that's fine. You know, there's certainly a lot of issues of social injustice that have been magnified pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, you know, with regard to health disparities, vaccine coverage, you know, disproportionate death amounts, all of those things. But I want to also position this as an economic development argument when it comes to Black-owned businesses, because when Black-owned businesses and other types of businesses owned by people of color and small businesses on the whole really shut down and leave communities, the character leaves. You know, when you look at many facets of economic development, one is business recruitment, right? That's usually associated with bringing in that big company, that big Fortune 500 company. All communities are always in a race to attract those companies. Well, if you look at most economic development literature, the key aspect of that is talent. It's talent being in the community. It's talent coming to the community. Well, talent comes to the community not just for the jobs, especially in the case of millennials, which are becoming a very substantial part, or are probably right now the most substantial part of the workforce. They want to live in communities not just for the job. They want to live in the communities so that they can have fun and volunteer and be at vibrant neighborhood spots and coffee shops and restaurants and just your personal services places with character like barbershops and salons and things like that.
It makes me think right now, and I've been doing a lot of driving during this pandemic. When I've driven through cities and towns, even if I made a wrong turn, I was like, this place is shut down. There's not one business open. Like, why would I can't stay here? I have to keep on down the highway. It's amazing.
You want to be where you can congregate with other people. I mean, and right. Obviously COVID's changed that. But when those businesses go, the big businesses can't recruit or retain the same talent. And so small businesses even impact the community's ability to attract big businesses. Not to mention that when they're closed, you lose sales tax. The rate of closures for white-owned businesses during the pandemic for between February and April of 2020, 17%. That's high. That's almost 1 in 5. For Asian-owned businesses, 26%. Again, 1 in 4, very substantial. For Hispanic-owned businesses, 32%, 1 in 3. For Black-owned businesses, Leonita, 41. That's 2.5 times the rate of white-owned businesses and 2 out of every 5 businesses. So, they're staggering statistics.
Kevin Dick is president and CEO of the Carolina Small Business Development Fund. President Biden's administration has pledged more economic support for minority-owned businesses, including more financial assistance for small business owners seeking Paycheck Protection Program loans. More in a moment.
Pauli Murray was a brave Black Southern woman who always held people's feet to the fire. She encountered a sinister combination of racism and sexism throughout her life, but Pauli never took any of it lying down. She worked tirelessly as an activist, a lawyer, and a priest to fight for human rights. Check out Pauli, a new podcast about the power of one person to change what's possible for us all. Download and listen wherever you get your podcast.
Errand Girl Tina Travis is a pandemic success story. She has a small fleet of cars and 4 full-time employees and ramps up when needed. So in this crazy COVID economics climate, how did Tina Travis keep her business afloat? She admits she accepted any loan or grant, PPP, Paycheck Protection Program money, she could get her hands on. And Tina says she shifted. She stopped just running errands. She provided whatever customers needed.
You name it, we do it. That's the one great thing about Errand Girl is you ask us what we do. We just help people with their pain points. We just help the gentleman who has a mom that lives in Durham, but he lives in Texas. It was her 80th birthday, and he wasn't able to buy her flowers. He wasn't able to buy her the vacuum cleaner, and he wasn't able to look into her eyes and sing happy birthday. But guess what? Aaron Girl delivered all those packages, and we even sang happy birthday to her from her favorite son in Texas, and it was one of the best birthday gifts she could have. So we just try to be that that staff, that concierge that you need to accomplish a task that either you just don't have time to do or you simply don't want to do. That we fill in the nooks and crannies of life. We're like a nice, reliable, sweet neighbor. The only thing about it, we have national background checks and we're superlative drivers. So we just try to spread that great energy while being efficient, while being reliable, and while trying to just create a task from start to finish for you.
So, you know, you're a small business, you're a minority-owned business, and a lot of those businesses have not survived this pandemic. I mean, all different kinds, all different services they provided, you know, a lot of restaurants especially, you know, did not survive. Tell me a little bit about your survival. And did you ever think you wouldn't survive once we were in the coronavirus pandemic mode? Or, I don't know. I just want to know how you did it. why are you still here, you know?
I'm still here because I prayed a lot. I'm still here because I have faith. I knew that my business could survive, but I knew I had to fight for it. I knew that I had to be creative. I knew that I had to make my staff comfortable and safe. And once I made the staff comfortable and safe by providing a safe protocol training on how to keep the cars sanitized, how to keep extra masks, how to make sure that we have our passengers safe and COVID safe at all times. Once I trained the core to do that and they were comfortable, we were able to once again take on our passion to help. And when you know that you're the team that you're a part of, we all walk in stride together and we all care about each other and we all know that we're trying to keep each other safe while working and while still trying to put food on our families' back, that goes a long way. It allows the staff to relax and really focus on the client's needs because they know that at the Aaron Girl office, they can always come and they can get the bottles of hand sanitizers. They can get as many masks as they need. They can get Lysol, whatever it needs to keep them safe. I want to make sure that they know that I have their back. Because guess what? Aaron Girl would not have survived if we didn't have this great staff. And when I say a great staff, the staff is a blessing. Not only are they talented, but they have hearts to serve. So along with hearts to serve and also just being the top-notch people that they are, we've created a reliable resource for our community.
I don't know. Is there any advice that you can give some other small businesses at this time? This is a tough time.
My advice for all of the small businesses that are trying very hard to keep their doors open, to keep their legacies alive, keep in the fight. Surround yourself by positive thinkers. Surround yourself by people who are visionaries and innovators. And get some advice from them. Most of all, get some encouragement from them.
That's it for this episode of Test It. Rebecca Martinez produced this show. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. I'm Leonita Inge. Thanks for listening.